This working man is Sports Radio coming to you live here on a Friday morning. We're running a little bit late, but we are set and ready to go. And I will, I'm not sure if Andrea got my message. I just called in, so I'm going to call her right now and pick her up and get her online because I know she was ready to do a show. And I was just running a few minutes late here, so we're going to go ahead and do it. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Lots of sports news, but this morning we're probably going to maintain on baseball. So I'm calling her right now, getting her up online, as we'll hear the phone ring here any second, hopefully. It's thinking about dialing.
Hello.
Hey, Lenny Melnick, it's Sonny Clark.
What's up there, Sonny Clark? How are you?
I'm on air. I'm running about 5 minutes late, but I thought this was the number for Andrea. Tell her to get her butt online.
I thought she was on. I thought she was doing the show.
Well, we were doing the show. I just messaged her
because
she asked if we were going to do it, and I didn't get back to her. I was running about 5 minutes late, and I can't do it later, so that's why I'm on air right now as we
all
speak.
All right, I'll tell her. All right. I may have to put the phone into the shower, but I think that would be a cool broadcast.
It'd be a new one, but yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It works
for me. So.
Oh,
sweetie. All right. I'll try to get her. I don't even know where she is.
Well, just tell her to call in and
I'll tell her.
Tell her I hit the air. Good to talk to you though, Lenny.
Yeah, you too, kiddo.
All right, we'll talk to you. Talk to her in a few. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Awesome. So he'll give a call here. He'll have her call any second, and that'll be good for us to get started. It is Friday morning. It is the time before the weekend, and obviously what's going on is basketball. Let's kind of talk about that until we get Andrea in here, and it is my fault. I didn't let her know what's going on. I don't know how are your brackets this morning? I woke up to Harvard beating New Mexico, and I had New Mexico beating Arizona over in the West. So I woke up to that. I did not see that one. And also, I woke up to Colorado State beating Missouri. But in the games that I did see before I went to bed, I had only missed Wichita beating Pittsburgh and Oregon beating Oklahoma State. And I had Oklahoma State running into the next round and the round after that. So that's kind of how my bracket is looking. How is your bracket looking? It's bracketology here. I don't know. I mean, I name my bracket each and every year. I don't have a clue because this is one of the best tournaments as far as what sports has to offer. And I believe that. I believe that for a couple of reasons, and I'll go into that reason.
When you got an open field of 64, you have
a recipe for possible upsets, and that is so cool. It is so cool for the game. And I was on the road yesterday, heading back from court. I had a little lead foot, so since I had a little lead foot, I had to stand in front of a judge yesterday. But on the way back, I listened to Colin Cowherd on ESPN. It was the only thing I could get while I was out where I was at. But here's the interesting thing is that the chances of anybody getting a perfect bracket is some astronomical number with 13 zeros on the end of it, or it's some kind of crazy number. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody ever had a perfect bracket. I don't know if someone does have a perfect bracket even to this point. I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, one pick I do regret taking, and that pick was Wichita State. Should have stayed on Wichita State. and Pittsburgh because they were so close in numbers. And what I tried to do, and I don't know about anybody else, but what I tried to do is go tradition basketball against teams that, I mean, no offense against Pittsburgh, and I can't name you what, here's another thing, couldn't name one of the players on any of these basketball teams. Couldn't name you one. That's why I don't have a clue. And that's what it makes so interesting. So when you do your brackets and you're having it getting squared away, you're all set. And that's what's cool about the whole thing. So it's bracketology here on a Friday morning. How's your bracket looking? Hopefully you are still and you didn't take a team like maybe New Mexico or something like that to go into the Final Four or something like that. We had someone in our setup with Cuervo that Cuervo and I were doing one with my family, and one of our family members had New Mexico all the way into the Final Four and the Final Two. That's a tough way to start out a first day of brackets. Last year, my team that won lost in the first round as well. So, anyway, it is Sports Talk Over Coffee. I do have my coffee. I was running a couple minutes late this morning, but I am raring to go, and we're going to be talking sports. You want to get in online and talk about some teams, we could go ahead. Marquette gets the win yesterday over Davidson. Davidson just blew a lead, so that was a huge game. Butler, everybody was saying take Bucknell. I wasn't falling for that. I like Butler. Syracuse gets the win over Montana big time. And UNLV, this was one that I picked as the upset. That was my upset pick because what I found in UNLV, and this is history. That history is that they don't always do well in the tournament. So I went via history on that one. So, but that's about how I got set up. A lot of games that are going to be going on today. Kansas takes on Western Kentucky. North Carolina and Villanova go off today. VCU got the victory yesterday, it looks like, 88-42. And that was when I had that pick. I also had Michigan, who won 71-56. Later on today, UCLA and Minnesota, Florida, Northwestern, San Diego State and Oklahoma. Georgetown takes on Florida Gulf, Indiana against James Madison. I hear that one's supposed to be in. It just depends on what you believe. I hear that one's going to be a big-time game as well. There she is. It is Andrea. Good morning, dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just 5 minutes late to getting on air. So my wife is getting set to take my daughter to San Antonio. They're going for a regional tournament or a regional competition for cheerleading. So I was doing a couple of things and didn't get back in time to start it up. But we only started a couple minutes late. So we can go ahead and kick on this. And so what's on your mind this morning? What's on the mind of Andrea here on Sports Talk Over Coffee?
Oh, well, okay. So, I watched the Nationals play the Atlanta Braves yesterday. That was a good game.
Okay. And how so far in preseason or in the spring training, actually, how are they looking right now?
Looking very good. They are looking good. I'm too excited about it. Bryce Harper looks phenomenal. He just, the guy just hustles everywhere he goes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's
one of those guys that a lot of people are wondering if he is going to be able to continue what he started last season. I've listened to a couple of people talk, and I love the way experts in the sport, and some of them never even played the game, are already trying to blow this guy off the field before he even gets started. Why is everybody so against Bryce Harper and the success that he could possibly bring over to the Washington Nationals?
Dude, I have no idea. It makes no sense because if you watch the guy play for any amount of time, I mean, just watch him. Just turn on your TV and just watch the guy. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that he's so he's just such a good addition to the team, and he's a leader. I mean, he was selling season tickets on his off day, right? So he was tweeting on Twitter.
Yeah.
It said he put up, you know, for season, I'm selling season tickets on my off day. And he put the number up, and he said, call this number for season tickets and ask for Bryce. And he's, like, seriously on the phone with his with the fans, you know, selling tickets. It's like he's just such a good addition to the club, and he just, if you just watch him, I mean, there's nothing more a person could say to convince somebody that thinks that he's not going to do it, but I'd like them to show me some numbers, you know. Even if they're a stat head, they couldn't come up with any numbers to show me that his he will regress. I mean, he was expected to do this when he came up, and he's been doing it, and there's absolutely no reason why somebody would think that he won't do it again.
Yeah, I don't see why not. And here's the thing. As a guy that has been doing what he's been doing so far, this guy has done everything right. I mean, he had one slip up, and that was before we even got started out on the baseball field. Ever since then, ever since he's made it up to the bigs, this guy has been what every, you know, Major League Baseball team wants a player to be. Could you imagine? I don't know if you could you imagine one of the biggest names, Albert Pujols, on the phone selling season tickets. He's just doing everything right for your franchise. That's good stuff.
I agree. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to think that he's going to go backwards. Dan Heron was pitching. He looked real good. He struck out or got rid of, like, took down, I don't know, 12 batters in a row at one point. So Dan Heron looks just really good, and the confidence level on the club just looks high, you know, it just looks good. So exciting,
yeah.
Super exciting.
Good stuff that's going on in Washington. I love what they've been able to do. And you know, say what you will, it is this, you know, spring training. I try not to get excited over baseball teams in spring training because they're sure enough to break your heart. But after what we've seen last year compared to this year, what they're doing, putting together, it'll be really interesting to see what they're capable of doing for the whole year. I like what's going on over there. Some other news out there that I don't know if you know, I just read this rumor, and I don't know if it's true, but if it's true, Derek Jeter may start the season off in the minors. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, poor Yankees. Oh, I want to feel sorry for them, but I don't really.
This is the only one I don't feel sorry for. This is the only one I feel sorry for. If you look at the Yankees, this guy is the class of the team in reality. You don't hear about him. You'll hear about him dating a girl here every once in a while, but you don't hear ridiculous stories after the breakup or all kinds of crap like that. This is the only guy that when you look at the Yankees, you go, man, that kind of sucks for this guy. But if it was anybody else, I think I'm on board with it being okay about it.
Well, you know, Derek Jeter broke his ankle. So
yeah.
It wasn't, you know, when they say that he had a fractured ankle, a fracture is a break. So, I mean, it might not be broken half, but his bone was broken. He had some surgery to repair it in the off season, and they said he would miss like 45 months, which he did. And then they brought him back, and he was playing, you know, off and on. He wasn't playing, but the first, you know, I think it was the second time he played consecutive games, he started to feel his ankle was super sore. So, I don't think he's going to be ready for opening day. We don't know, but it's like, what's one more injury? They've got everybody injured. They have some serious issues going on. And I just, I listen to a lot of expert drafts, you know, for fantasy, and I just get so annoyed. I mean, well, I don't really get annoyed. I just kind of, I always have my own opinion. You know that.
Yep.
And everybody's talking about Robinson Cano, and everybody's drafting him. I mean, he's probably moved up to the fourth spot after Miggy and Ryan Braun and Mike Trout. Cano is going fourth. And I did an article the other day about, I called it Cano a no-no, because I think that it would be dumb to draft him in the fourth spot, and there's a couple reasons why. So I did a whole bunch of studying on Cano, and like, remember, I don't know if I told you about it, but about a month ago, Jason Collette wrote about Robinson Cano and the fact that he wasn't hitting any fly balls compared, I mean, he was hitting, his fly ball number and percentage went down significantly, and he was talking about the fact that his home run to fly ball ratio, meaning how many of his home runs or how many of the fly balls that he hits go for home runs, how many are going out of the park, and it was up significantly. There's only been, like, in the history, well, between the years 2002 and 2010, so the last 8 years, there's only been two players that have ever hit 30 home runs with the home run to fly ball ratio as high as what he's hitting. So he's getting kind of lucky in the fact that when he does hit a fly ball, it's most likely to go out of the park. And his numbers, that number is completely unsustainable, because not only that, but like, he's the only player in the last 8 years that's been able to even hit 20. It's backwards. There's only been two players that have been able to hit 20 home runs, and there's only been one player, which is him, that's been able to hit 30 home runs. So there's just no way. It's like unsustainable. We always talk about batting average on balls in play and all that stuff, but nobody's been bringing the fact up that he's not hitting fly balls. Not only that, but he's not hitting lefties as good. He's always been kind of like shady against lefties, but entering 2012, he had faced lefties 1,393 times, and his batting average was 300, so it was easy to overlook the fact that he struck out so much. He struck out 13%, and he walked 5%. Well, in 2012, in 269 plate appearances versus lefties, he hit a 239 batting average, and he struck out 18% of the time. So I think, to be honest with you, what I'm trying to say, I basically think that Robinson Cano peaked in power in 2011, and even though the numbers aren't going to show that because of the crazy home run to fly ball rate that he had, I really do think that Cano peaked at 30. He's hitting 30.
Yeah.
He's hitting 30, so I think he peaked at about 28. And the fact also, on top of that, you know, with the whole Yankee offense injured, he has nobody to protect him in the lineup. The pitchers are going to be, I think pitchers are going to walk Cano, because they don't, if they're facing Teixeira, Jeter, Granderson, and all those guys, they might not be as apt to walk Cano. But they're facing guys like Brett Gardner and Ichiro. They're not scared of those guys. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're going to walk Cano. Cano's going to get pitched around way more than he ever has.
Oh,
and definitely. That's going to affect his runs and RBIs and all that stuff, don't you think?
Well, I think definitely. I mean, when you look at the lineup and things like that, they're definitely going to pitch him differently. So I think that's a huge one. Here's one that I think I'm just going to throw out, and maybe it's just couch being couch. But when you have a team like you have, you play on the Yankees, and it's not the Yankee team that he's used to having out on the baseball field. How much is that going to affect him mentally? And I'm going to just put it out there, because everybody says, you know, Couch, you look at things that, you know, like the glass half empty. Well, usually the reason why I look at the glass half empty is because that's usually the one that ends up happening when I'm talking sports. The glass half empty kind of thing kind of bothers me as far as when it comes to Cano is where is his mental state going to be? You know, if you think about it, he's the only star on this team besides Ichiro, and I love Ichiro. I always hope everything goes well for him.
Well, listen, to make it worse, dude, his mental state, he's in his contract season right now, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, you know his Scott Boras doesn't like his players to sign extensions, and very few of them ever do, but
yep.
He likes them to hit free agency, test the market, and then decide, because that shows, you know, the team's what he's worth. And let me tell you, Robinson Cano is going to get offered a big chunk of money, but the pressure that's on him right now mentally, you speak of, without having any of that lineup in there, he's being relied upon to be the number one guy, which
yes.
is fine, and you know, but
well, is he ready for that though? I mean,
in your contract year, puts a lot of stress on you, and some players
sooner or later, right?
Some players they deal with their contract year and the fact that it makes them stronger. Some people, they don't like the pressure and they can't take it. Well, we only have like one thing to go by as far as what Robinson Cano is going to do under pressure, and that's his playoff numbers. And his playoff numbers are crap. We don't have anything else to go by except for when the pressure's on. The pressure's on. Robinson Cano has totally took crap, and I don't expect him to get it. I think that he's going to have a lot of pressure, not only in what you talked about with the mental state of being the only guy in that club that offensively talented, but also the fact that he's got to maintain being the best second baseman in baseball, and he knows it. Otherwise, he's not going to get the financial security that he is expecting to get, and that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
And he's expecting a lot of money. And you're right. Whoever signs him. And here's the thing. He even has a down year. He's still going to get money. It will be just a matter of how much will a team go out after they see him with all the pressure on him. That's going to be huge to take a look at. Let's see here. Hanley Ramirez jammed his thumb in the World Baseball Classic Championship game. What's the situation that you hear? I'm hearing 2 months on that. And how does that affect the Dodgers?
One more thing about Cano, and the one of the biggest things I hear, one of the biggest reasons that I hear people drafting Cano is the position scarcity at second base. And I laugh at that because I can't believe, the next time somebody says that to me, I'm going to be like, what the hell, position scarcity? I mean, seriously, there's Kinsler, Howie Kendrick, Danny Espinosa, Aaron Hill, Dustin Pedroia, Ben Zobrist, Dustin Ackley, Neil Walker, Brandon Phillips, Dan Uggla, Chase Utley, Peralta, Ricky Weeks, Bonifacio. It's like all these guys that you could put at second base that play every day. They may not get the batting average that Cano does because it's hard to find a guy with good batting average at second base, but
right.
All these guys are feasible. I mean, if you're looking for good batting average, then you draft Brandon Phillips instead of Ricky Weeks. If you want power at second base, you get Aaron Hill, whatever, you know?
Well, let me defend that a little bit. And let me defend it because I am a believer that in Major League Baseball, as far as your drafts are concerned, second base is probably second and shortstop. Those are the two. Well, besides catchers, catchers are just horrible. Those three positions on the baseball field are the hardest ones to grab quality. And you talk about Hill. Let's just take. You don't know what you're going to get Hill each and every year.
That's not true.
well. Yes,
the last few years, people are really high up on Hill because they're looking at him and they think, you know, well, he hits for power. And
if you dive into the numbers like you do, you realize these kind of things. But just as a general baseball fan doing a fantasy draft, one thing that you know, and you know those three positions, really in reality, if you're kind of in it but not, you know those are three. And no offense, Aaron Hill, I want to take in the 20th round. I mean, come on, let's be serious. The guy is not there. That guy's not even a top 10 round drafters. That's what they're probably talking about when they talk about second base scarcity, because in reality, you don't take a jump for a guy like that. How many more Chase Utleys are out there that when he was in his prime, by the way,
right.
Do you jump after? I mean, that's what I think they're talking about. Those guys that you named off after the first five or six, let's be honest, you could pick those guys up in the eighth or ninth round.
Well, that's fine. Okay, the ones that are going that are actually in even close to the category I didn't even name, like Tulowitzki and what's his name that runs hell a lot, Jose Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
But so I didn't even name those, and that's – I understand, like, to a point, I guess they should say instead of position scarcity, they should talk about the difference between the tiers in the quality of players, because you're right. They're not going to compare to Cano or Jose Reyes or Tulowitzki in the fact that they're not going to keep your batting average up, or there's always one thing wrong. And Dustin Pedroia also fits in with those guys at the top. So there's four, like, top-tier, you know, second baseman, and I think what they're talking about mostly, which they should specify, is that it's not position scarcity. It's the difference in the quality of player that you're going to get.
Absolutely.
At second base. At shortstop now, you're talking about a position that is scarce. I mean,
yes.
You're not going to get – oh, wait, I brought up Jose Reyes and Tulowitzki, but I shouldn't have brought him up at second base. I should have brought him up now at shortstop because that's what I'm speaking. There's, you know, shortstop is the position scarcity where there's only several guys that are going to get you any – stats at all, you know,
right.
In fantasy baseball. But every guy that I read at second base, any one of those 15 guys that I named off are going to get you points and they're going to play every day.
Right. Yeah.
So
it,
I don't
it,
understand,
it,
like,
right.
the whole
but
position
the,
scarcity
but,
thing at second base.
Tiers, you're right about the tiers. You put them on a tier 1, 2, and 3 as far as that. Obviously, those numbers of players are going to fall more up underneath the number 3 and then a few less up under the number 2. And you're only going to have, like, 2 or 3 in the top tiers of your draft where you're looking at it. You go, you got that is a position. After and this is a personal opinion up on fantasy, when I'm picking, if my pick is around 7, 8, or 9, I'm grabbing the second baseman. And I do that because I don't want to fall back into that part to because you're always going to be able to find a third baseman. You're always going to find a first baseman. Oh, geez, first base is so good.
You're
crowded.
Always
going to
second baseman.
Huh? You're always going to find a good first baseman. That part, yeah. So if I'm sitting at the 7, 8, 9 hole, I'm grabbing the shortstop or second baseman to at least solidify one of those positions. Probably shortstop.
Yeah, probably you get
slow. Yeah, exactly. So those are the way that I kind of handle the first round. If I'm in the first parts, I'm looking at the big guys to grab up there for a while, and then we'll figure out what those numbers can be. Saturated through the big guy. So that's kind of how I kind of look at the first, first 5, 6 picks of the draft.
Position scarcity, I mean, I'm a believer to a point. I mean,
yep.
I believe in the fact that you should definitely get a guy that's going to get you fantasy points. Like, if you're looking at, the field and you see that there's only, like, 3 good shortstops left or 3 guys that play every day that are going to get you points, that you had on your radar, you better get one before they go
yep.
all the way. So I'm not so much going to pick one in the first round. In fact, most of my drafts have been getting outfielders in the first round, and it gets, I actually end up with like 3 outfielders in a row. That's like what I've been, tending to do in this year. But I do believe in getting one before they go away, and it's important to make sure that you're paying attention to that, because you don't want to be the guy, that's stuck, fighting for the last second baseman that's good or the last shortstop that's any good. You want to have somebody that's feasible at every position.
J.J. Hardy, that guy's broken my heart so many years.
What's wrong with J.J. Hardy, dude?
He's just not even second tier. He's third tier. He's never
going to
play that'll get you points, but he's average. I mean, come on. J.J. Hardy is not your guy. I mean, he's not the guy for all that matters, he's not even top 5, 6. At his own position. I like J.J. Hardy personally, and but as far as fantasy leagues, I'm not a big believer. That guy's broke my heart so many times. I grabbed him up being my guy a couple of times, and
what brought up J.J. Hardy?
It's just this guy that popped in my head that some of my loser picks in the past. So he's
hey,
guy
how about
that,
this? I'm going to make let me have a little gut feeling here. I think I'm going to say that Bryce Harper gets more fantasy points than Robinson Cano.
Well, see, now that's not a stretch, though. I don't see that as a stretch.
People are going to laugh at my ass.
Who's laughing at you?
People are laughing at my ass.
Well, that's because people are not thinking the whole Yankee situation. If you think guys and you're just going and you're thinking it's so much of a difference when you don't have those guys in the lineup. It is.
Because it matters.
It's going to affect the way Robinson Cano plays. And it may not be so really noticeable right away, but as the year goes along and those injuries keep going and going and going, and we're still talking about A-Rod not being in the lineup and maybe Jeter not ready to go.
Dude,
Teixeira
is talking
right
about
now.
Not even coming back till
And Teixeira, exactly. But
he may not come
right
back
now,
at all, dude.
That injury to Derek Jeter is probably bigger than most. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've broken my ankle, okay, 8 times. 5 times on one side, 3 on the other, okay?
It's bad. It never heals.
I'm going to tell you right now, it'll never go away. Like on a day like today, it's kind of cloudy down here in Texas, a little bit rainy. I feel it in my ankles. I'm going to tell you right now, that will never go away. It will be something
ever.
With them. And I'm going to tell you also right now, it's going to affect Derek Jeter's effectiveness out on the field every day. He'll have a good day every once in a while, but there will be something that will be bothering him every single day, and it will be an ankle unless it's repaired correctly. And I'll put this out there. I don't think he can be repaired correctly. I don't think you're ever the same after a real good break in your ankle. It's just the way it is. It's a joint, and it takes on the weight of the body. It's not like it's a joint in your elbow where you only got from your elbow to your hand. This is your whole body on the ankles, and it makes a huge difference.
Oh, I agree. I twisted my ankle one time. It's kind of a funny story, but I won't really tell it now.
If you're a drunk, you got to tell it.
It was a drunken brawl, dude. It was like, I was like 22 or 23 years old. I was downtown Portland. I just went with my roommate to see a show. I don't know what we were getting in a fight over, but we got into a fight in the middle of the street. And she threw me down on the ground and twisted my ankle.
Grunge band?
What?
A grunge band? You were at least, tell me you were at least in some kind of pit or something when it happened.
No, it was after the concert. It was like walking to our car or walking from the bar to our car or something.
Oh, okay. All right. You got in a word game with somebody outside the bar. Got it. Understand.
My roommate, dude. So then the next day I woke up and that night it didn't hurt so bad, but the next day when I woke up I couldn't walk on my foot, and I was a server at the Char House. And I went to lunch and I just couldn't even walk around. My ankle was so bad. And still, to this day, like 15 years later, I still wake up sometimes. And whenever I put any sort of like damage to that ankle, it's always going to be sore. It never, ever is going to completely heal itself.
Yep. So that I love that. That's a good story. Mine was getting drunk, walking back after an Arizona Cardinals game, and I fell in a hole.
Sweet.
Dumb. But you gotta put it out there. But Derek Jeter, it's going to be something that's going to be on him, and it's not going to go away. It's going to affect his career from this point on. It's going to affect his career and how
he's 37, dude. It's not like he has a big...
Yeah, he only has 2 more years anyway. I mean, but God, the guy produces every
single
year. Yeah, he does.
Certainly, I'll give him that.
And not only that, the guy's a class act. You can't even question that. I mean, he's been the man in New York. He's been New York's, you know, guy, single guy that it plays it right, does it cool, keeps everybody off his back. I'm going to miss him when he goes because he's the only Yankee besides Ichiro now that I even like. So, but back to Hanley Ramirez, 2 months out after the jammed thumb, I guess they're going to have to repair some ligaments. How's that going to affect the Dodgers lineup?
Now, did the MRI come back?
Well, let's see what this thing is. It says jammed thumb suffered at the World Series. The World Baseball Classic will force Hanley Ramirez out of the game for the next 2 months. He will undergo surgery on the thumb, which, of course, is the worst-case scenario that could have happened in reality. And
MRI results did come back.
It will repair torn ligaments in his right thumb.
Ooh, so, yeah, that's... Last
surgery
night when I went to bed.
Scheduled to take place today.
What's supposed to take place?
The surgery.
Oh, shit. So when I went to bed last night, they had not come back with the answer to whether or not he would be out 2 weeks or 10 weeks.
Yep. And this is according to some dude from MLB.com, Ken Gernick.
Okay, so yeah, what's your question? I mean, yeah, don't draft him.
Forget about fantasy. I mean, obviously he drops in fantasy value. I mean, reality. But what's it mean for the Dodger lineup? This is they grabbed this guy to be their guy. In reality, if you think about it,
who's the next guy on the list? Is it D. Gordon?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know. And that's the scary part.
Let's pull up the depth charts, dude. I might need to pick somebody.
All right, let me grab it. If I knew you were going depth charts, I would have done it.
Outside to smoke, so I didn't.
A depth chart, Dodgers. Yeah, but hold on. We're not going to get a full good depth chart for the Dodgers until they come out of spring training.
That's not true.
I got it right here.
What site are you on, though?
Well, I'm up on the Dodgers site.
Okay.
I don't like going there. Gordon.
D. Gordon.
Correct.
Well, his value just went up huge.
Big time.
As far as Hanley goes, though, I can only really speak from a fantasy.
I like this kid.
I like
this D. Gordon kid.
Yeah, me too. And I think that it's good. I mean, it's good for D. Gordon because he deserves an opportunity to play. He's so young, you know, you take all this playing time away, you might as well send him back down to the minors so he can get some fucking practice.
I'm going to tell you right now, this guy right here is loving the fact this guy got hurt. I mean, this guy can turn it. This guy is so fast. I'm telling you, they're going to be a problem when Ramirez comes back. I'll put this out there. When Ramirez comes back, they're going to have to find a place for D. Gordon in the lineup. I'm telling you that right now. I don't know where they're going to have to put him, but they'll miss him if he's not in the lineup.
I'll tell you right now, the Red Sox need a shortstop worse than anybody.
Yep. Yeah, so
D. Gordon, Steven Drew is a piece of crap. He is, dude. He's not going to play. I mean, now they're saying that he's...
Years.
He's not good. Oh, wait, what?
He's been a piece of crap for the last 3 years.
Right. He's no good anymore. And he never even really – I mean, he was okay, but he never
was
that –
he was okay. He was suitable. He'd get you through a game or two.
He was okay in fantasy because he played multiple positions. But I'm right now, the Red Sox are going to have to rely on Siriaco to play at shortstop. So anybody drafting in fantasy should really look at him because he goes very late, and he's going to be playing shortstop. You can't count on Stephen Drew. And with D. Gordon, I think that when Hanley does come back, because he will come back, he's going to get his job back, and the Dodgers are going to trade D. Gordon to the team that offers the most, which might be the Red Sox. But I think that even though Hanley's value has gone down significantly, it sucks if you already drafted the guy because you paid a shitload of money for him. But I don't think he's useless. I would still pay a few bucks for Hanley because who knows? I mean, you know, it's only 2 months of the season. We'll see, though, how long it actually takes for him to come back from this injury. They always go on the short side of the stick.
Yeah, get this. I mean, this kid only in 60 – okay, let's be fair – 23 games, but he still batted 379. Normally, even in 23 games, those young rooks and everything else, you find out how good they are really quick. And this guy didn't disappoint. I remember him. I was like, this is a guy, I think if they grabbed him up, and that was before the Hanley Ramirez thing and everything else, I was like, this guy could be a real good sleeper in fantasy leagues as far as grabbing him up when people aren't expecting them. Now with Hanley, I did forget about this guy. With Hanley Ramirez taking over shortstop, I hope he does. I hope he gets traded to a team to where they can utilize his talents, and I think people will be happy with him. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him because he gets play time. He deserves to have playing time. Like I said, you know, you're not going to play the guy. You might as well send him back down to the minors so he can get some experience.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'd much rather him get the experience up in the big leagues anyway. So that's going to be the huge thing. I like it. It's a good move there. Some of the things that I've been, you know, I've had a list to talk to you about since we came, and I'm glad that you were able to get in. I'm sorry about being late, but we're here.
I was looking for you on Facebook. I didn't see you on Facebook, so I just left you a message. Maybe we could do a show later. I think that we talked. I don't know if I had come up with a sleeper yet or not, but I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to talk on the show because I didn't want anybody in the NFBC draft to steal my guys. Remember that day that we were talking? Like, both my guys got snagged right from under me, and I had, like, this paranoia, dude, that if I went on air, dude, and said anything, that people were going to know it was me and they were going to take my guy away from me. So I've been looking at, and it's like the biggest sleeper in town. I mean, there's nobody talking about Daniel Bard.
Don't believe her. Oh, wait, your draft over?
I'm still in it, but we're in like the 40th round.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right.
I was going to speak of Daniel Bard.
Daniel Bard. Okay. Remind me, the name sounds familiar. Where's this guy? I mean, he's just coming out of minors, if I'm not mistaken.
No, well, Daniel Bard was going to take Jonathan Papelbon's place for the Red Sox for the last, like, 4 years.
That's
he's
who
been,
we were talking.
Been with the Red Sox since he was drafted into the major leagues.
Yeah.
And he's been coming up behind Jonathan Papelbon, and they were expecting him to be the guy that took over for Jonathan Papelbon, and then they got some stick up their ass and decided they wanted him to be a starter instead of a closer last year. Which didn't work out in his favor because he ended up in the minor leagues, and ever since then, nobody's been talking about him. But he's been, you know, John Farrell, their old pitching coach, is back. He's their manager now, and they have a different pitching coach, but they've been working with Daniel Bard. And to be honest with you, until his last outing, he was like, he had given up no runs, and he had struck like out, I think he struck out 5 batters in 3 innings, which isn't a huge sample size, I know. But with the closers that they have over there, I mean, they're working with guys like Hanrahan and Andrew Bailey, which we know can't stay healthy, and just those kind of guys. Don't be surprised for 1 second if Daniel Bard doesn't become their closer. I would almost bet money on the fact that he's going to, and I got him in the 35th round of the NFBC.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Why do they take a pitcher? I mean, and Texas did this as well. Why do they take a pitcher who is doing so well at one role and try to change it around? I don't understand it. And I know a lot of the times the pitcher has a lot to say about it, but my gosh, when you are successful at what you're doing, you know, an example would have to be down in Texas, you know, 2 years ago when they had, oh, geez, his name just slipped. That pitcher that they just... Yeah, Feliz. What are they taking Feliz out of that? That guy was monster on the closes. I don't understand why they were such. I know they needed pitching, and I get it. But, man, when you got a guy, I mean, almost every team will pay, you know, millions and millions of dollars for a good closer. And Feliz was set to be on that set. I'm telling you, for the, yeah, I guess he'd get more money being a starter, but geez, it's not going to be that much of a difference. I think I sit and I do the closing role for, you know, maybe $1 million or two less than a regular starting pitcher. But what happened with Feliz is that now that guy probably couldn't close to save his life. Now he's a starting pitcher, and I like Feliz. I do.
Well, look what happened to him, dude. The Verducci effect completely went for Neftali Feliz because he had to get Tommy John surgery.
And
now,
that's,
5 years
that's
old, he recovered Tommy John.
And that was one of the reasons why I honestly believe they should have left him in that closing role in Texas. I mean, okay, and I know what you say. You know, if he's having Tommy John, he would eventually have it. But if he was in the closing role, it might not have been for 2 years.
Well, he did only pitch 42 innings last year, but still, I just think that the amount of innings that you pitch at one time, it matters
yes.
just as much as the amount of innings that you pitch altogether. So if you're going out there as a closer and you're only pitching one inning, it's a lot less stress on your arm than going out there and pitching
Absolutely.
Five innings in a row. You know what I mean?
And I agree, 100%.
So what happened to him, it could be proof of what you're saying. I know that...
I've always said that.
I just think that
it's just so frustrating, especially for a team like the Rangers, who, you know, in my mind, they're making the biggest mistake regarding Nolan Ryan and how they're handling that whole situation. I'll put it out there. A lot of people disagree with me respectfully, but I'm telling you right now that the fact of the matter is that the Rangers are in the position they've been in for the last three seasons because of Nolan Ryan.
Oh, I agree totally.
And they're just kicking him to the sideline like he never even had anything to do with anything down here in Texas. And, you know, it's so wrong of an idea down here in Texas. The guy's going to end up doing the same thing he did for Houston. And let me tell you something. Houston in 2 or 3 years, going to be a good baseball team. I don't know who they're going to have as personnel, but all I know is Nolan Ryan will be there. And that guy makes a difference in a franchise.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. When a guy
yep.
like that's making decisions for your team.
Yep. When you got that much experience, when you know what you're talking about, and never mind that. I mean, if the Rangers were smart, maybe they'd just shut him up on every other position except pitching and let him go that route and let him do that part. But no, they're trying to boot this guy right on out of here. I just don't get it. I mean, maybe it's me, but it's one of those things where I take a look at it when, you know, it's in business. Sometimes you don't fix what's not broken. Sometimes I know you want to see things differently, maybe down the road, but man, this is Major League Baseball. And, you know, you're talking about the Rangers, you know, being good for the last 3 years. Why try to fix something that's not broke? And that's what they're trying to do.
One example that did manufacture out to be good, which is Chris Sale, and he's actually the opening
Absolutely.
Day starter for the White Sox, and he was
yes.
in the same boat last year. He went from a closer to a starter last season, same as Bard and Feliz, but he's the
yes.
only one out of the three of them that managed to either stay healthy or not end up in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and not only that, he's going to get paid, too. I mean, I think I was hearing about that contract that he was getting set to sign over there, or he's already signed, and it's for big bucks. I remember going, God. I was more bad-mouthing the team about taking him from that closer role and putting him in the start. I remember those conversations about him, and that guy's going to be good. But normally, man, I'm all for it. If it's not fixed, leave him in there, let him try. And then if they see him declining for some reason, then you might want to pull the trigger. But when they pulled Neftali Feliz out of the closing role, that guy was on fire at the time they did it. So it made no sense. But then again, you know, Nolan Ryan, I left it in the fact that Nolan Ryan knew what he was doing. But I honestly believe that that decision came from the head coach of Washington. And that is my question. Down here in Texas, they're talking about having Washington almost on the chopping block. I mean, what does this guy have to do to earn a little respect in Major League Baseball? I mean, my God, they took him to two freaking World Series and had him on the cusp of making the playoffs. I mean, come on.
I think the fans feel the same way you do. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're the only one that has that opinion.
I know. It just seems like I'm the only one here in Texas.
Aroldis Chapman, you know, for Cincinnati.
People want to get rid of him.
Aroldis Chapman, you know, in Cincinnati.
Yes.
They were going to make him a starter. And actually, I think he came into the league and into MLB as a starter, but his control was so bad that they decided to try him out in the bullpen, and he did a hell of a job as a closer last season. And they were actually going to put him back in the starting rotation, and he voiced his opinion saying that he would much rather be a closer. So I went out and picked up Mike Leake because he's the next one on the thing to be in the rotation. And they decided yesterday that Aroldis Chapman will be the closer. So if you're in fantasy and Mike Leake's available and you're in one of your late rounds, he's going to be in the rotation this season.
Yep, might as well grab him up. That's not a bad pick out.
Might as well.
Who else are you looking at? I just had a couple of subjects and stuff. I mean, I have more, but maybe there's something that you want to talk about as far as
Zimmerman, dude. If you don't get Jordan Zimmerman, you're out of your freaking mind. I'm not kidding. I know you guys think I'm biased because I'm a Nationals fan.
No.
I probably am biased, but I don't care because this guy is going to – he's the fourth starter.
I think him and Gio are definitely guys that you got to look at. I do. And I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because I don't think a lot of people are looking at those pitchers out of Washington and taking them very seriously as far as what they can actually do for a fantasy team. I see the fact that they're jumping on bandwagons on different teams and big names, and that's going to be a problem. Heck, as it is, what my favorite guy Zach Greinke, he's probably got a problem heading into this year.
What's his problem?
I think he's injured. Let me find out because I thought it was quite interesting that he was there's something going on with him. I think he's hurt. I read something.
See, I just had something on him.
Yeah, let me pull it up. I have it right here. I had it right here, so it shouldn't take me long to find it. There it is. Let's see here and over. I have to hit Major League Baseball.
Here we go.
That's where I saw it.
Right here. The Dodgers have to be feeling a bit of anxiety as their $147 million investment is already showing signs of wear and tear before ever taking the mound in blue and white. Last week, Greinke was sidelined with inflammation in his right throwing elbow. He underwent a platelet-rich plasma injection designed to help stimulate the body's natural immune response and create an environment more conducive to healing. The PRP appeared to have helped as Greinke was able to throw a bullpen session on Sunday, completing pitches from both the stretch and the windup. The injury raises some obvious red flags as one has to wonder what caused this inflammation in the first place and will it have any long-term effects on his elbow and the throwing arm. The Dodgers' schedule to start the season is a favorable one, allowing Greinke to spend 15 days on the disabled list if needed before LA would need to utilize a fifth starter. If progress is slow or if the team elects to take a conservative approach, don't be shocked to see Greinke on the DL to start the season. Downgrade Greinke until he proves this was anything but a minor flare-up.
March 25th and March 30th next days he's scheduled to pitch. So Monday and Saturday will be the deciding factor whether or not this guy's going to give it a go and be the starting pitcher for the Dodgers on opening day. I don't know. They got a lot of money behind me, and they dumped it into this guy. And I like him. I like him a lot, and that's one of those things when I look at the guy, when I look at the Dodgers, I always thought this was a guy, and I honestly wanted to see the Rangers go after this guy because they're local. I'm not necessarily a fan, but they're local, so I can keep up with them better. But I always thought that for the last 2 years they should have grabbed this guy up. Maybe Nolan Ryan knew what the hell he was talking about by staying away from him, but you know, injury prone starting off. And you and I both know 15 days is 30. So he's not going to get started for 30 days in Major League Baseball if he starts off on the DL. It's just not going to happen.
Right. I hope he does well because everybody's talking about his emotional issues and anxiety and all that crap.
And now it's going to get worse.
He got problems with Matt Kemp, too.
Well,
He's got problems with his shoulder, they say.
I saw that coming last year, though. If you look at his averages, and I was looking at some numbers on him, I saw his numbers not drastically declining, but it was noticeable towards the end, and certain statistics and things like that. I saw that coming.
Right, and, you know, Kemp just seems to have, I don't know, I mean, it hasn't been very many years to say this, but it seems like he has an on-season and an off-season. Last year he had a really good season. The year before that he didn't. The year before that he had a really good season. So maybe it's time for him to have not so good of a season. I mean, you got to draft him if he's up. Like, you know, if it's your turn and Matt Kemp is there, you almost have to draft him, but I would take Andrew McCutchen over Matt Kemp any day.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. I like Kemp. I just, there's some of the things that worry me about this guy. I mean, I think there is a call it a shelf life for greatness. I really do. And him, you know, you look at him and, you know, he's milk, man. He ain't lasting long. You know, it's not like he's got a lot of preservatives in that arm to keep him on the shelf for, you know, about 4 or 5 years.
Let's address the Ryan Braun thing real quick.
Okay, hit it.
I'm going to extend
the show. You got a half hour? I'm in the process of extending the show. So you want to, you have another half hour?
For 15 minutes.
Okay, all right. I have to do it for a half hour, we'll talk until we're ready to go.
Yeah. So the Ryan Braun thing, like, they basically, people are worried because MLB is like bound and determined to go after Brian Braun and A-Rod with the whole steroid thing, the Biogenesis Clinic and all that stuff. And they actually suspended a player in the minor leagues because they were able to do it because the guy has no player association and can't afford a lawyer that, you know, the major league guys could afford. So they went after this kid in the minor leagues that was on the list and suspended him for 100 games.
Yes.
So ever since then, people are talking about the fact that MLB is bound and determined to get Ryan Braun and A-Rod. And, you know, people on the air are talking about whether or not, you know, that makes you a little bit hesitant to draft Ryan Braun and all this stuff. And people are saying, yeah, you know, a little bit more than it was yesterday. Well, I'll tell you one thing, dude. I'm a little more hesitant to draft Ryan Braun, but it isn't because of that. I'm worried that, you know, whatever it is, like even, Steve somebody, he used to be the general manager of the Mets, but he's not anymore. He's retired.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's on Major League Baseball, you know, TV. I know who you're talking about. I'll get his name in my head in a second.
He comes on Sirius, and he's always on Sirius Satellite Radio for the Fantasy Channel. He's like there.
He's smart.
He's super smart. He was talking about when he was a manager for the Mets, and it was during the whole steroid era, dude. And he was talking about the fact that, you know what, like, he's not going to deny that his people were doing steroids, but he turned the other cheek. He didn't even pay attention. He didn't want to know, because the last thing he was going to do was chase his guys into the bathroom and or go through their lockers or whatever, because he needed a even playing field. So if he was one of the managers that decided to get harsh on his players for doing steroids, then his team was not going to be as good as the next guys. So he wanted to keep his job. He was talking about the fact that he would have been canned if he didn't win any games, and he wasn't going to be the guy that was going to go parent all these players and try to act like, you know, he was the law enforcement or whatever. He was just going to let it happen. And he's pretty much, I mean, he admitted that right on air. And, you know, I'm happy that he did, because he just came from a logical point of view that he was the manager, right, and he wanted the best for his club, but he wanted to win too. And he wasn't going to be the guy that had the worst team on the field. He wasn't going to be the guy with the players not on steroids. And he pretty much figured out that there, because, you know, everybody wasn't bitching about the people that were on steroids, that everybody was on steroids, because those that weren't on steroids would have fucking bitched about all the players that were on steroids, right?
Absolutely. And that's good that someone came out that way. His name's Steve Phillips, by the way.
Yeah,
Steve. Yeah, and the guy's a class act. But here's the thing. It was a reality that he had no control over,
right,
in reality. So
he didn't.
Yeah, so I think that was, and it was obviously the right thing to do. Obviously, you want to keep his job. See, and that just goes to show to me, and this is what I put up on the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He knew exactly what was going on. That guy was down in the the locker room of the Minnesota Twins so much.
You know, there's only one person that had the authority to change it, and it was him. Because
right.
he could have made, you know, MLB-wide rules saying, we're testing from now on. We're going to change this. We're going to test everybody every week. And he was the only one in Major League Baseball that could have fixed it. You can't leave it up to each individual manager because they would not have had a job, just like Steve Phillips said.
Bud Selig. Yeah, I mean, Bud Selig walked in the locker room where there was a community bowl. Okay, there were guys on that team that Bud Selig was in the locker room. He's seen what was going on. So this BS story that I don't believe it for a second, and finally someone comes out and states it in the right. I bet you Steve Phillips had been practicing how he was going to say that for a year before he actually came out and said what he just said.
So here's my problem with them. My problem with Ryan Braun is not the fact that he might go get caught or get suspended, because I guarantee without a dirty UA, Major League Baseball has shit. They can't do shit, and they know it, because they came out just the other day and said they're not pursuing A-Rod and Braun. Well, I guarantee those guys better watch out, because these guys are going to be knocking at their door in the middle of the freaking Saturday night in the 3 o'clock in the morning wanting to get a P-test. Those guys aren't out in the clear yet. But my biggest problem is not whether he's going to get suspended. It's how the hell is he going to perform if he has to stop doing roids? We all know he's on roids. We all know it. And we all know that they've figured out some way to get past the drug test. But what if, per se, you know, it does come to be that one night that he's at home and he doesn't have his doctor to give him the stuff, or he ran out of the stuff, whatever it is that he's taking to pass the test, because we all know that they've got something. Steve Phillips said the same thing. They've obviously figured out a way to get past the test. So why don't we just forget about it? Because we can't do anything about it. The biggest guys, they've come up with a solution to pass the test. The chemists are always going to be ahead of the lawmakers, and they're always going to be. The minute that those lawmakers find out what, you know, how to beat the guys that are beating the test, then they're going to come up with another supplement that's going to beat the test.
And here's one of the problems, and this is what Major League Baseball doesn't want, and that's the reason why they're making such a federal case over it. The purity of the game. For some reason, Major League Baseball honestly believes they got that still. Even with all the nonsense for the, what, last 8 years that we're talking about steroid talk? I mean, even longer than that, even last 10, 15 years we're talking about steroids. Okay, the purity of the game is gone. Okay,
I don't care. I don't think it takes the purity of the game away to do some roids.
Get with it and keep going.
So my question is this. How good is Ryan Braun going to be when he has to stop taking steroids?
I don't think he's going to stop, but I don't know.
I think that they might be a little worried right now that they might want to stop for a while.
Well, yeah, my only thinking, I guess the only thing I can go by, just like anybody else, and if you look at Barry Bonds, these guys were pretty good before they started taking it. You know, maybe they weren't as great as they are now, but at least they can maintain until they get something else figured out. But you're absolutely right. Once they figure out a way past the test, and then Major League Baseball years behind those guys, and guess what? They're going to be years behind the next best thing to come to mask the whole thing again.
Right.
So that's going to be the problem with it, on how they do it and what's going to end up happening as far as whether or not that they will be able to stay, you know, somewhat close to him. And the chemists, in my opinion, have a 5 to 6 year start over Major League Baseball. They don't have the smart enough people. They don't have the innovative mind to figure out how to figure out who's on this stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, man, you know, it's like when a cop wants to pull you over, he's going to find a reason to pull you over, dude. And if they're hard on your trail, they will find a way to get you to pull over, and then they'll search your freaking car. If they suspect you of anything, even if you're not doing anything wrong, they will get you pulled over, and they will come up with a reason why. And for me, it's like these guys are going to be hoarding Ryan Braun. They're going to be hoarding who's the other guy that they bring up?
Nelson Cruz.
Nelson Cruz. A-Rod is another guy. Guys are going to be following them around like freaking spies, dude. And they're going to be, like, knocking on doors in the middle of the night. They're going to try to come up with anything they can. They're going to have private investigators following them. Don't think for a second that MLB is giving up on this.
Oh, God. Oh, no. And if anything, they're going to amp it up. You're right. And here's the thing. This is the time where the Players Association is going to earn their money. okay? Because the Players Association are not blind to what the hell's going on. Hell, if we're talking about it, you know they're talking about it up on the Players Association level as well. So the Players Association is definitely looking at, and they've had blunt talks with their players. Hey, man, if you're taking that, that's fine. You know, we're your lawyers, okay? So tell me, are you taking it? Now we got to figure out how to, and they're ahead of, even the Players Association is ahead of Major League Baseball because they're going to get the scoop from the players because they know that they have to protect them. So the players going, yeah, I'm on it. Figure out how to protect me. That's what we're paying you guys for, and that's what's going to happen. That's why they're ahead of them. And the Players Association, whenever they try to tweak something, just maybe bend what rules that they got going up on that Players Association, man, you'll see the red flag come up, and they'll be all over it like flies on stuff. So,
well, you know, they get paid a lot of money. They're like the teachers union. I mean, they get paid a lot of money, and they're stoked about the fact that they get to go into this knowing that the law is on their side. I mean, it doesn't matter. They could care less if Ryan Braun's on roids. But what they do have is the fact that it's totally illegal for them to throw anything in the book at anybody without a dirty UA.
Yep, and that's going to be a problem, and that's what, and they're going to preach it, and they're going to win it. I don't think they can do anything with this. You know,
no, they can't.
They got names written down.
They're going to be hoarding these guys, so Ryan Braun better figure out a foolproof way of getting past that test if he's going to continue to play Major League Baseball as the best player, because I'm telling you, I watched David Ortiz come off of it. You saw how bad he was. Your bad swing goes down. I mean, you may be able to come back to the guy you were without steroids, but you're never going to just be able to come off of it and be that guy right then.
And David Ortiz, and you want to talk about a guy who's got real, how did this guy get out of, you know, getting scathed from being the black ball of Major League Baseball? People love this guy.
Because when the list came out, he stopped doing it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. He didn't come out and play.
They thought his career was over.
He
couldn't hit a fucking ball for the first whole year, dude.
Yep, it's obvious he stopped. And that, and instead of coming out and saying, yeah, I was on him, he just stopped taking them and just went with it.
Right.
You got to like the guy. I don't necessarily like him as a guy, and I'm not going to pick him up fancy, but this guy's popularity is through the roof. I mean, and this is about the only guy that I think can get away with it, and I think he's about the only one that has a shot of making the Hall of Fame out of all of them, because he's still loved by a lot of fans out there and a lot of writers as well.
Well, look at his boy Manny. He decided not to get off of him. They were doing it together. You know they were. Well, like the whole 2004, 2017 was doing it probably. The whole freaking baseball was doing it. But when David Ortiz decided to come off of it, he decided to live that year being made fun of, everybody thinking that his career was over, while his buddy Manny decided to keep doing it. Now look where Manny is. He's freaking got some $100,000 contract and playing for Japan.
Japan, yeah. Playing in Japan. And you know why he's doing that, too? Because they're probably going to be coming after him for taxes and everything else. And if he's in Japan, exactly. So he may stay there, which he might as well.
Right.
Language, pal.
Good. And he should turn into maybe he could become Japanese and nobody will find him.
Yeah, learn the language, pal, because once you take step out on back out here, I think he's in a lot of trouble.
Right.
You got to love it. So, but anyway, that's good stuff. I'm glad that we're able. I'm glad I called you and
me too, because I didn't think you were going to be on today. So
I've been trying to make sure, you know, when my girls have school and everything, it's perfect. I mean, but when they go out on spring break like they did last week, my wife doesn't wake me up. So I'm not awake. So, by the time I walk in about 8:45, go, oh, jeez.
Well, I thought it was all my fault the last couple of weeks. I've been avoiding the show because I didn't want to let out any secrets.
Just last week. No, just last week. No, actually, I think I did it on Monday. I did a show on Monday. I didn't do one on Friday because I woke up way too late. So I was back up on the regular schedule there as far as that's concerned. But we'll be here on Monday. So
this weekend.
Huh?
I have three drafts this weekend, so we'll have a lot to talk about on Monday.
All right, very good. We'll talk about it on Monday then.
Okay, Couch, have a wonderful weekend.
Yep, you have a wonderful weekend as well. And for those that are still listening, head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show as we have IFL football tonight up on the Couch Potato Sports Show, where the Texas Revolution are taking on the Tri-City Fevers. We'll be broadcasting live from the Allen Event Center. I am Sonny Clark for Andrea, and I am the hardest working man in sports radio, and we're out of here. Everybody have a great day. Have a great weekend. Enjoy some basketball as well. And
the college tournament rolls on. We're on. Bye-bye.